Hello, welcome back to the Authentic Ibiza Tribe, here with me, Sadie Mills. I'm so happy that you've chosen to listen to me again, walking the dog or doing the washing up, whatever you're doing. Thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. Today, I am sitting in a beautiful sunny courtyard at this wonderful guest that I'll introduce you to in a minute at her house. It's a little bit windy, but you can hear the birds singing. It's a beautiful spring day here in Ibiza. So if you can just close your eyes, you can imagine you were here right with us. So without further ado, I'll introduce you to my next guest, and it's Vicky Godfrey. Hi, Vix.
Hi, Sadie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for having me here to your wonderful house in this beautiful sunny day. We couldn't have chosen a better day, really, could we?
No, it's absolutely beautiful.
Ibiza is warming up. The sun is, I mean, it's been glorious the whole of the Easter holiday. We've been very lucky.
And I even dipped my foot in the sea this morning and it wasn't that cold. Oh, I was like, oh, I'm getting there, getting ready.
I don't know, I think that's a matter of opinion, because if I've dipped my toe in there, I'd be straight out again, I think. Too cold for me yet. I probably don't get in until about June. But anyway, listen, let's go straight back to the beginning. Vicky, tell us who you are.
Yeah.
How did you come here? So tell us who you are first.
Okay, hi. So I'm Vicky, as Sadie kindly introduced me. So I'm a naturopath and a nutritional therapist and also an ex-award-winning TV producer. So I won 12 awards in 6 years for content produced, worked on some amazing brands and some amazing launches. Realised, slightly going off on a tangent here, Sadie, sorry, slightly realised after doing a Christian Louboutin job in London, did get some free shoes from it, wonderful job, but he can only meet at midnight to sign content off. And going into Soho at midnight, just thinking, hold on, I want children soon, how can I put the kids to bed and then go and meet clients in Soho at midnight? So thought, shit, what can I do? Rocked up at the College of Naturopathic Medicine. Before I knew it, this sales girl was so good. She'd taken a huge deposit off me. I left there really dazed, going, what just happened then? And I'd signed up for the College of Naturopathic Medicine for a four-year course.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a bit life-changing. And first day of biomedicine, sat there and said, hold on a minute, I can't do this. This is far too scientific for me. With my TV brain, I didn't go to university or anything. I was out at Ealing Film Studios as a runner knocking on doors. You know, can I make you tea? Big smile and work my way up through the whole career. And suddenly I was enrolled in this really scientific biochemistry course.
How did you make the jump from that to that? I mean, we're actually jumping ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
here.
I know, sorry.
It's okay, it's okay. This is a relaxed conversation between the two of us. There's no set standard of how it should run. We'll go back to Ibiza in a minute, because this I want to get onto. So you're a runner and then built your way up in the TV world, and now you're doing a biochemistry degree or something.
Yeah.
Where did that even come from? Where did the interest come from? And you could have knocked on any other door.
I know.
Or been lured into any other university place. I mean, why
that? That's what
that?
I mean. That sales girl was so good.
Wow.
At the College of Naturopathic Medicine. She was like, you need to study nutrition. You need to da-da-da. So, but the first day of biomedicine, I literally went back to the director of studies and said, can I get my money back, please? And she just laughed at me and said, no. Now, I'm one of these people that if you start reading a book, even if it's awful,
I have to
finish it.
I'm the same.
And same with a film, even if the film's awful.
My husband is the worst at picking films as well. Sorry, Steve, but you are.
So I just go through it. So, of course, you paid that amount of money. It wasn't a cheap course by any means. And I paid all that money. There's no way I could just write that off. So I just kept turning up. And you know what was so amazing? Things actually start to go in. It takes a while. It took me a while.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing on doing that course was we should be taught this in school every day. Mm. This is the fundamentals of biochemistry, of how our bodies work and what food and nutrition make our bodies work. And we're not taught this in school.
No.
And we should be. And that was one of my biggest light bulb moments of, well, I've been eating so wrong. You know, I know this is about Ibiza and now I've gone off on a nutrition tangent.
No, but this is about who you are and what
journey.
You can bring to us. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you went from this amazing, what some people would perceive as a bit of a show life, you know, everyone wants to be on TV, that kind of thing, even though you were behind the scenes and producing all these amazing shows.
Eating at the best, well, it was more content rather than shows. So I did work at the BBC, so some of that was shows, but it was more, you know, at the best restaurants, stayed at some of the best hotels.
Rub shoulders with all the stars as such.
Yeah, got gifted some amazing gifts along the way, you know.
Have you still got the Louboutins?
I do. They've only had two outings to two weddings. They're in the storage unit. But we'll get to that when we get to how...
This story we can come back to because you can go more into and tell all the listeners about what you actually are doing with that wonderful degree that you eventually did complete. And, you know, that's what you can bring to us here now. But how did you first come to Ibiza? Take us back to when that day was.
So I'd graduated and we'd gone to France for a year. So I'd had my second baby, Rufus. And where we live in East London is next to a toxic gland. And they were doing remediation. And that means turning over the soil to clean it. And I was noticing that my children were getting sicker and sicker and sicker from this land. Now, bearing in mind they're in Hamzat suits, the white protective suits, while they're cleaning
the children,
land.
Not the children,
the people cleaning the land. But my children were 1 and 3. Every time I opened the windows, the coughing was even more intense. The doctor told me to put a mask on my children in my own flat. And I'm like, they're 3 and 1. How can I mask up my children? This was way before COVID, you know. It's back in 2016, 2017. So we came up with a solution with the flat and we had 2 weeks to go somewhere. We didn't know where we were going to go. And randomly, we got a phone call from an old friend that I did yoga teacher training with back in 2010. And she said, Vicky, come to Ibiza. Let's do some retreats this year. And we want a naturopath on the retreat. And I was also a yoga teacher. And I was like, wow, this sounds good. And that was never, Ibiza was never part of our plans. We were always going to go to Andalusia.
You'd never been on holiday or anything before?
I had, you when I was Jay. 23. It was a slightly different holiday. Yeah. And it took me a week to get over it. You know, partying every night can really take it out of you.
Not much sleep.
You just don't sleep.
Too much alcohol.
Yeah, and you're on the beaches and you're going to bed at 5, 6 in the morning. And then you're trying to see all the beaches in the day. So you're absolutely exhausted when you get home. You need another holiday to get over your holiday, right? In Ibiza. Especially at 23. So, no, and Jay had never been. So when I turned around to Jason and said...
Jason's her... partner.
Yeah. And I was like, let's go to Ibiza. And he was like, I'm not going to Ibiza. I've never been there. And he knew all the bad stereotypical stuff of Ibiza.
Which many people do.
Yeah, I don't want to go and live in a party place. I don't want to live where there's lots of, you know, recreational things floating around. And I just don't want that. You know, we've got children. And I was like, okay, so let's just do 6 months. Please, please, please. So we had a little deal. So we had 2 weeks to go, right? So the first weekend, I sent him to Ibiza on his own, which was actually Easter weekend, to go and do a quick recce, so he could give us the thumbs up to. And I'd already bought the flights for the following weekend anyway. And I have to say, they were £21 one way, so it didn't really matter for four of us, like £84. And he came back from his Easter weekend. He went, "Go on, then, let's do it." So we only came for 6 months.
Green light, let's go.
Yeah, green light, let's go. So the following weekend, we jumped on a plane, 3 duffel bags, 2 children, 2 buggies, no toys. And because we were only coming for 6 months, all our stuff in storage. And it was just wonderful. It was just marvellous. And the people, what I love about Ibiza is the open-mindedness. Everyone was on our wavelength. Loads of people into healthy eating, loads of people into yoga. And that was, you know, my vibe of where I am as a mum of young children. Mm. I want to look after my health. I want to live a long life for my children. So I'm around, you know. Yeah. So all of that. And everyone's values were so aligned when we moved here, more so than London almost. And so 6 months suddenly became, should we do another 6 months? Because how can you know if you want to live somewhere if you haven't done a winter? And oh, my God, the winters are even better than the summers. So it gets to April again, so you've done your first year and you're like, I'm not going back.
I'm not going anywhere.
I'll do another 6 months.
Yeah, and you were doing retreats still at this point, so yoga, teach training and
Yes. So I did all that the first year. And then the second year, me and the girl sort of went different ways, wanted different things out of the retreats. So I did, got someone from India that I'd done loads of training with to come over here and do some retreats. And they were fantastic, deep, spiritual, Indian type experiences that was fabulous and made more friends along the way. And then it gets to winter again and you say, I'm definitely not going back now. And before you know it, 6 years has gone.
Wow.
6 years this month of every 6 months going, we'll stay a bit longer, stay a bit longer.
And now the boys are at school, your two children.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all... So they're now 7 and 5.
7 Thursday.
Yeah.
7 and 9. They were 3 and 1.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And 7 on Thursday. They speak 3 languages. How beautiful. I think if... You know, the state schools here aren't... If you wanted your child to be a lawyer or a doctor, you might choose some of the other options on the island. But for us, it was about the language. We were like, we can give the gift to our children of 3 languages, build their brains in a certain way. And as long as they're kind, as long as they understand right from wrong, and as long as they can read and write... I mean, come on, with
then
the internet.
They're okay in the world, yeah.
I think the world's their oyster. They can go travel anywhere and speak fluently without, you know, me on Google Translate going, oh, shit, I'm in a shop.
The language is difficult for a lot of people, for a lot of expats here, you know.
I think the Spanish language is quite difficult. I've done 2 years of learning with a teacher, and I'm still poco poco.
I think us British people, unfortunately, we have an inherent fear that we won't allow ourselves to just blurt it out. That's why when you have a few drinks in the bar, you always think you can speak the best Spanish ever. Because your confidence is, you know, your inhibitions have lessened. Mm. So you give it a go, and actually you feel like if it's not perfect, it doesn't matter. You're still giving it a go. And for some reason, Europeans not, mostly, just British people have this horrible fear inside of us that just makes us, you know, halt ourselves and stop our progress in languages, which is a bit of a shame.
I think as well, when you've got a few drinks inside you, a few wines or vodkas, your accent goes more...
More Spanish.
Yeah, you know, it's like a da-da-da-da-da. Probably I turn half Italian.
It probably just means you're shouting.
Yeah. To be fair, though, my Spanish teacher after the first year said, Vicky, your Spanish is still so bad. You speak Spanish like an Indian person. Sorry to anyone, I didn't really mean to offend with that, but I was just like, okay, I get what you're trying to say. And then,
but
the
listen,
second year,
don't give up, keep going. Poco poco.
Poco poco. Poco, poco. No, I know lots of words, just stringing it together.
Yeah, it's the same for everybody, babe. Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you come here with a 6 month mindset, and then here you are 6 years later. And we know a little bit about what you did before, and now what your qualifications are. So what do you do here now on the island? How do you enable yourself to live here all this time for 6 years? Because you're not still doing the retreats, are you? Or are you?
No, I've got one retreat coming up this year. Pre-COVID, I did a wonderful healing retreat. After I finished training, we just moved here. And then I went back for a year to do cancer study at Birkbeck University. So that tipped my partner over. So he's like, why have you made us move to here? And now you're going to commute back to London for all this extra training in cancer. But I don't regret that at all, because learning about cancer, it wasn't that I wanted to go into a practitioner as cancer. It was to protect me and my family. Cancer's 1 in 2 right now. And the World Health Organization say that cancer will be 75% chance in everyone by 2030. Oh. That's a pretty horrific statistic.
That's very horrific.
So that was a bit ridiculous, commuting back 2 hours each way every weekend. So yeah, after the cancer study, and then I was all about working online, being like from that digital nomad perspective. So a lot of my clients are London based, and then COVID hit. And then now, because of COVID, everyone's even more acceptable of Zoom. So I used to commute a lot more because of people wanted face-to-face meetings, and now they don't. Mm. So everything's Zoom, 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 Zoom.
And so when you got your clients then, just to make people understand, understand, so you are a naturopath that you specifically set diets out for everybody, and if somebody's got a certain ailment, then you can heal them through food.
Food, diet and lifestyle supplements. And then we started a nutrigenomics company. So nutrigenomics is a bit of a tongue twister.
You're just showing off now, aren't you?
No. Sorry. It's not that difficult. In nutrition.
Yeah.
And then genomics, genome, genes.
Yes.
So if you break it down, and then that helps brains process it. So nutrition for your genes.
Yeah.
And then I stood in Tesco's and I phoned up a friend from CNN that we studied with, biomedicine. She helped me get through it. And she was steaming ahead in nutrition for your genes. nutrigenomic. And I was studying Tesco's and I'd done a DNA test and I felt overwhelmed. And I'm like, hold on, I'm trained. And I feel really overwhelmed by all this information that is so fantastic. It's like you're picking that up. And it's the sounds of Ibiza on a Cafe Del Mar track.
Next door neighbour is drilling, but that's okay. Excuse me.
Brings authenticity.
Exactly. And this is the authentic Ibiza tribe. So there you go. So genomes, DNA.
Yeah. So I phoned her up from Tesco's and I said, look, I'm overwhelmed. Can we build an app called DNA Pal? So we become a pal to everyone's DNA and tell them how to eat, what nutrition to take, what supplements to take for their genetics. So, you know, someone might do a 5-2 diet, for example, which is a fasting diet, or the 18-6 diet, 18 hours of fasting, 6 hours of eating, or whatever those windows look like. And it doesn't work for everyone because we're all unique. So, and that's what I love about the future of where personalized health is going. And these genes are really going to become our guide to personalized health of the future, and pharmacology, because the studies coming out on pharmacology is quite interesting too. But I'm obviously sit on the natural side, and I have seen some amazing things with it. I've seen cancer, you know, really improve in the circumstances, thyroid cancer reduced by 30% in 3 months, you know, just some amazing things
off the back of someone doing the DNA pal test.
No, more the nutrition stuff. Yeah. More the putting the right things in for the body from the nutrition stuff. No, but the DNA pal stuff.
Well, we are what we eat, no?
This is totally
what everyone's been harping on about for years. What was the lady who wrote that book this 20 years ago now?
Gillian McKee.
Yes.
When she talked about poo, and everyone was like, oh, Gillian, stop talking about poo.
No one wants to know it, but everybody wants to know it now.
Everyone wants to talk about stool tests, poo health, gut health, you know. Because
we'll do another one about poo.
Yes. I could talk about poo all day. Even I get my boys to inspect their own poo. Yeah. And it's
either dinosaur poo. Everyone should inspect their poo.
Yes. Really is the fundamentals to health.
You've got to have a little look because everything is shown you in what you're doing there.
Yeah,
there you go.
Totally.
That's our hint and tip for the day.
Yes.
Check your poo.
Check your poo. Is it a nice long sausage? That's what you want. And if it's soft, then you're not absorbing. And if it's like hard little pellets, it's water. There's another little tip for you.
You
could be dehydrated, or not eating enough fibre. So where were we before we went on that poo tangent? Sorry.
So nutrition, 30% yes. down in statistics for yes. cancer, thyroid cancer.
Yeah, so that wasn't with DNA Pal.
That's seeing.
Yeah, so but that's just general sort of nutrition things that you see. And then the nutrigenomics, there was a guy, he wasn't losing any weight. He was doing HIIT training and his DNA came back saying endurance would suit him better. He swapped to endurance, the weight just fell off. We've seen asthma disappear by somebody being dairy intolerant, not wanting to give up dairy. Their DNA came back and said they can't have dairy. Asthma gone.
Amazing.
You know, and for me, my journey, I was 13 and a half stone after my second baby. And I'd just done the DNA test. And I listened to the advice. I did what it said. And I lost 3.5 stone that year. Following year, lost another 1.5 stone. I'm like mid-40s and I'm 8.5 stone. I've never been 8.5 stone since I was 18.
You look great. You look fabulous.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. I'll give you the £10 at the end.
And this was the DNA pal, because I've actually done it as well. I had bought it for my birthday, didn't I?
Yes.
A few years ago.
Yes.
Which I found so interesting. It's a super easy swap. I mean, you should tell it more, really, but from a user perspective, it's a super easy swab that you just wipe around the inside of your mouth, pop it in an envelope, send it off. 6 weeks later, you get a detailed face-to-face over Zoom consultation taking you through all of the results. And it is so, so interesting. And, you know, if somebody literally can just look at you inside, take your genes, take your everything and say, right, this is how you're going to be optimally running as a body, as a person, as a human being. Why the hell wouldn't you do it?
So that's it. I mean, people drive from London to Manchester and they have a map or they have a sat nav. We navigate life with no map of how our bodies work. And this is what I love. I call the genetic testing the roadmap to how your body works. But there is a price point with it. The cheaper you go, the more likely are they going to sell your samples on, they're going to sell your data on. And one of the other reasons of setting up DNA Pal with two nutritional therapists in the kind of driving seats was we wanted a safe space for people. We do not want your DNA ending up anywhere where we don't want our own DNA ending up. And once you tick those research boxes, that gives them the rights to sell. And Ancestry recently sold, 23andMe recently sold, and it was billions. It's not just a small amount. So it's great that some of it's going into the research, but, you know, there's a good side and a bad side to everything. So we specifically, ethically, fight hard to protect everybody's data, everybody's DNA. The samples are destroyed after the reports are run. And we're fiercely, you know, against that. And what we do see on the market, we see a lot of other genetic companies popping up, and they're uber cheap. And we know how much the labs cost. So we've spoken to all the labs in Europe and England, so we know what the range of pricing is. And we're like, you're capturing that to sell that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's so great. You're getting people in on the cheap old thing. But where is your DNA ending up? We don't know yet.
And if you don't care about your DNA, then choose to do that. But if you do, then go with DNA Pal.
It's the most valuable thing in the world, worth the most money.
Yeah.
More than any Lamborghini, Ferrari. Your DNA is the most expensive thing that us humans can own, and worth the most amount of money. So it's so fascinating, that whole journey. Yeah. But what I love about it is nutrigenomics is only 9 or 10 years old, or maybe 12 years old now. And the research is coming out faster and faster and faster. So we capture 700,000 genes, SNPs they're called. And as the research comes out, we can just keep adding and adding and adding to your insights.
Yeah.
And we just had an app come out last week. We're now on iPhone and Android.
Amazing. That's exciting, because I know that's been a long time coming.
2 years build. Yeah, it's been challenging. It's really thrown up. You know, we did raise some investment, but in hindsight, the investment that we raised, we should have raised more. The tech, you know, was just quite challenging and expensive to get it there. So if you don't have the full money, you know, the Google type budgets to throw at it, then it takes longer
because
you're being so
but
careful.
But you got there. You've
got
done
there.
It.
We got
congratulations.
There.
Really exciting.
So we're in in both Android or Google Play and iOS, and we just
DNA Pal.
So
if people want to find out more about this, they can go on and what's the easiest way? Is it to go and download the app and then you can apply for a test via the
app? Yes, you can buy a test via the app.
Or you can just go onto a website, I assume,
Yes.
We'll put all of these on the show notes at the end, all the details and the link to the app store and everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Maybe even there might be a little discount code for our listeners
Of course. And I'll send that to
you later. It'll be in the show notes, guys.
Yes.
So if you're interested in doing the DNA Pal, which I thoroughly recommend, then it will be in the show notes and you'll have a discount on there. Thank you, Vicky.
And then you'll be able to use the app and have it on your phone. Like when I was sitting in Tesco's, not being able to remember my results and what to eat. And there's meal plans, there's challenges to give up stuff. So you might want to give up caffeine. I know my pool's just started in the thing and I don't know how to turn the...
It's okay.
Can you still hear me over the noise?
I can hear
the,
you. The drilling next door, the pool pumps have started. Okay, so that's super exciting. DNA Pal, I mean, what an achievement. Between you and the other two people, did you say were involved?
One
person?
One other co-founder.
Yeah, one other co-founder. Congratulations, and I wish you all the success with that. I think
thank you.
And like you said, it's only 10 years old, genomics.
Nutrigenomics. Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, this is going to be something that you can evolve with, and DNA Pal can evolve with, and you can just learn more and more about ourselves, or we can learn more about ourselves.
Yeah, and we really want to become your pal for life. We don't want to be a throwaway app.
Yeah.
We want to guide you. So as a woman, you have loads of different life stages, fertility, perimenopause, meno, postmenopause. All the advice coming through will be different when you answer the 21 questions in the app. And depending on how you answer, and then you can go back and go, you know what, I fixed that. I fixed my sleep. I fixed my stress.
Sure.
So now let's go and work out what
we're
I need to fix
always,
next.
You know, women especially, but, you know, men too have their cycles that they go through as well. You know, they're often overlooked.
Men are really overlooked, and we do a male health report, which is all about prostate health and stuff. And men have a menopause.
Yes.
We used to call it, it's actually an andropause.
Midlife crisis,
where they dump the woman, buy the Ferrari.
Yeah.
And now we know it's all their hormones changing.
They need support too.
Yeah.
So this is equally as good for men as for women.
Yeah. But we find the men don't queue up to buy. It's the woman that queues up to buy
for the
man.
For the men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was the other way around for me. I mean, I did hint to my husband, but he bought it for me for my birthday.
Yes.
So there is a, you know, exception to the rule. Okay, look, let's bring it back to Ibiza.
Yes.
now that you're obviously fully fledged a resident of the island after 6 years and your kids are trilingual and you and Jay are, you know, part of the community here, which everybody touches on how wonderful it is to be part of this beautiful expat community here in Ibiza. What's your favourite things to do? Is it to be with the community? I mean, we do have some amazing days at the beach, don't we? But what's your favourite things to do in Ibiza with yourselves or go out with you and Jay or the family? Tell us more.
I think the first thing that got us on that first 6 months of winter was how sociable everybody was and how wonderful just going to the beach for a simple birthday party, how magical it was. It didn't need to be expensive. Everyone can bring a dish. If everyone wants to drink beers, they can. If nobody wants to drink and they want to drink water, they can. Nobody is judged.
No.
There's no judgment here. You can go to the supermarket in your pyjamas. Nobody judges you, you know. Not that I have.
School run in the pyjamas.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
But nobody judges you here. I think even if you walk naked down the street, I don't think anyone would blink. I think they've seen been there, done it, got the T-shirt. It's just like, someone naked over there, so what? You know. So for me, it is the parties and the curries. You know, the curries down another beach for someone's birthday, and you know, the curry and your sports day that you organise. That's like rounders. I bloody love rounders, and all of those things just bring the magic of the support to Ibiza. And how, you know what? If you're in trouble, you do one post in a WhatsApp group, and everyone's there for you.
Yeah. Need a form filled out, because there's lots of forms always in Ibiza, isn't there, that you need?
Yes. Yeah, so there's always someone to help. And my car broke down. Jason was away. I had the children. I was like, I've got no food. Mm. And then a friend pops up. Don't worry, I'll come and get you. I'll take you to the supermarket and let me do a full big shop and drop me off home. So until I got the car fixed, you know, and there was another time all the Amazon deliveries didn't turn up because of COVID and stuff. And everyone came round, like rummaged through all their toy things, found the best things that didn't look so secondhand, dropped them to our house, we could
for
wrap
birthday,
them up for the next day.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that was such a special moment for us, that really was. That brought tears to our eyes, how everyone rallied around for that birthday party for us when we had nothing. And I'd ordered a month before.
I know. But so, post isn't always very reliable, especially in COVID times. But we won't go on about that. I mean, no. That is one of my questions, what, you know, your likes and dislikes of the island. And we can have a little niggle about Ibiza, because 99% of the time it's amazing. But there is that little annoying part.
I think what's your bugbear
of the island?
If you're going to live in paradise or very close to paradise, I think it's always going to come with its own challenges, right?
Yeah.
It can't be an easy ride.
No.
So it's definitely not an easy ride. Like, the things that frustrate me is, like, any bureaucratic stuff, you need to allocate at least 5 days to get it done.
Yeah.
Whereas in
and
England,
20 photocopies of every single document that you might need.
Whereas in England, you could do it in 20 minutes probably with one email or
and a friendly service and smile from the person who you're dealing with. Don't always get that here.
No.
Especially if you can't speak the language well.
Yeah, I mean, I had that in the post office. They were terribly rude to me, and I said, "Do you not like English?" And he said, "No."
Oh,
he was very honest. And I was like, "Oh, quite taken aback."
Yeah.
And I said, "Why?" He said, "Brexit."
Oh.
And I said, "But that wasn't me. Like, I want to live here, so I blatantly didn't vote." And he just shrugged his shoulder and said, "Don't care. Me and my friends don't like English."
Yeah. Well, Brexit's created a very huge paper trail for anyone that's involved in anything that needs
same
paperwork
as the police.
Here. I know the police are the same, yeah.
The police said to us the
other
day,
the whole driving licence debacle and God knows what else that's been going on. Oh, well, anyway, we're not going to go off on a negative tangent. So you love the community, you love being with the children, being with all your friends and family. So not necessarily the she side of Ibiza, you know, the fancy restaurants. Although, do you like going to restaurants? Are you much of a foodie?
We are foodies, we definitely are, but we definitely do stay like where the locals go rather than the, you know, the big kind of fancy beach clubs and things. Yeah, it's we're very much more where the locals go, staying close to nature.
Yes.
A really simple life.
Yeah.
Really, really simple.
And actually, you're quite lucky at this end, because we're now sitting on the northeast side of the island in Sargamassa, which is just a couple of bays down from Santillalia Beach. And you've got Kalamartina not far from here, which there's one of the long-standing, still not taken over as a massive beach club place, where you can go and get beautiful paella, really nice fresh fish caught every day. I mean, you're kind of spoilt with that on your doorstep, aren't you?
Yes, definitely. And even Calapada with Barbrissa.
Yeah.
It's So we are quite lazy in that respect.
Well, I wouldn't say lazy, is it? Because why? What? You don't need to go all the way to Calabasas or Calaconta, a 45-minute drive,
no,
to spend a fortune when you can just, you've got it on your doorstep.
But I do think sometimes, being here 6 years, I should have seen more beaches.
There are 56, Vicky. You know that. You should have them on the wall and tick them off as you go.
Okay, I will do that.
I think there's some even being here. Well, this is our 19th year living here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, it's coming up to our anniversary. The 24th of April we moved here. 2004.
There must be something about April because there was this, when I moved.
It's pre-season, isn't it? So yes. it's a good time to move. That, you know, it's spring, everything's opening up. You know, yourself, after living here for 6 years now, this time of the island is one of my favourite times because, you know, everybody's had a... It's almost like we're all coming out of hibernation a little bit, isn't it? And everyone's opening up the bars and you can drive around the island and see everyone painting and music on and the birds are singing, all the spring flowers all over the island. Oh, I love the island at this time.
And then you see, we're still all in our jeans and jumpers and everyone's in shorts and bikinis in the supermarket. Yes. And you go, yay, everyone's arriving!
Yeah, and they all think we're mad because we are literally still in jumpers and stuff. I've got a cardigan on now and it's probably about 24 degrees. But you acclimatise. Okay, so favourite things to do, one of your favourite memories? Have you got a little story for us that you could bring back to your mind of Ibiza? Something that makes your skin tingle. Come on, give us a moment.
God, there's so many to choose from.
You said to me yesterday something about when you were 21 and you came on holiday or something.
Oh, yes. So, when I came, I think that is one of my memories, actually. Thank you for that mind jog. Yeah, when I came here when I was 23, I think it's the whole Café del Mar thing. And Man U Mission.
Yes.
Before, while it was still open, and spending the whole night in the VIP bit with the Mixed Mag team and Zoe and Norman and Zoe Ball and Norman Cook and everyone. That was quite a crazy night. And I just think the Café Del Mar on the drumming down at Benaras.
Yeah.
I think they're the special, special things. And when the sun drops and everyone claps.
Yes.
And sorry to clap.
That's okay.
all of those moments are what makes this island so special. Because it's not just the clapping or the sun, it's the energy that goes with it in that moment.
Yeah, I've always said that. And that's one thing I love about the sunset is that, and sunrise too, but mostly people come for the sunset. People are generally up for the sunrise, walking home from the club, so they don't really take it all in. But the sunset, whenever you're there, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what walk of life you're from, what you do as a job even, you just have to shut up, look at it, experience that beauty and just be grateful and in awe of what is the world, no?
Oh, God,
you know,
completely.
I never, ever get bored of a sunset. I don't see enough and I must do that more, actually.
Yeah, I think the sunrises, I quite like the sunrises, especially down at Calanova because we're quite close to Calanova. We do that quite often with the children because they wake up early and if it's pre that, we go, should we do sunrise?
And then we do that in the summer sometimes to take the paddle boards down and it's beautiful.
God, I'd like to do that.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Let's do it this summer.
Yes, I'd love to.
Now the kids are a little bit bigger as well, you know. We'd have to watch they're not drowning.
Yeah. I haven't done any paddle boarding yet or stand-up paddle boarding.
Oh, that's great.
It's such a big thing on the island. No, I haven't. There's lots of things that I still need to do on the island. So there's still lots of things to explore and experience.
Darling, like I just said, after here all this time, there's still things that I find to do and love and that I haven't done before, places I haven't been. And that's the beauty of Ibiza. You know, it's so multifaceted. There's so many places to go, so many things to do. It's ever-evolving. You know, there's new places that are closing, new places that are opening up, and it's the beauty of living here and loving it for all these years.
Definitely.
Oh, so exciting. Yeah. Still makes me tingle thinking about it. Okay, so you've given us your wonderful 10% discount code, which I really appreciate that for your business. So I'm going to put all the show notes. The final thing I have to ask you, what one piece of advice would you give to anyone listening that wants to get the best out of Ibiza, whether it be they're going to move here or they're coming on holiday? What would you say your one piece of advice would be? And you can break it down and do two if you like.
I would say if they're coming on holiday, definitely do a sunrise or a sunset because that's magical.
Yeah.
And especially one where there's some energy there. You know, even Hostel Del Tour, which does come with a price point, a bit more of a price point than Café Del Mar. But or go and sit on the rocks at Café Del Mar. You don't need to go and do the whole sit down on the promenade. I think it's the nature for me. It's the nature elements, so the hikes. I think if you come at the right time, obviously don't try and hike in July and August.
It's too hot.
And
if you're moving here, say with a young family.
Moving here, bring a lot of money.
Yeah.
Even though we still do it quite cost effectively, you know, going to local places or Menú del Días or in nature, things like that. You know, just everything is going up. It's on par with, I find it on par with London prices, do you?
Yeah, for sure.
Compared to like other Spanish villages or towns, you know. So, and yeah, just the community and
get involved with the community.
Get involved with the community. Get involved where, if you've got children, where your children. I mean, I love the school we're in. We're always being called in to be a part of the class, be a part of the fair day. I mean, it's just fantastic. And the kids do dancing, and the mum and dads have to get involved, or to take cakes in continuously, or food, or go in and talk about our jobs to the children. Like, there's a real. Even from the school perspective, there's a family, real strong
impetus on
family.
Yeah, it's very family-orientated, isn't it? So it's a wonderful place, you'd say, to come with a young family then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, ours were 3 and 1, and they're still here now.
And they love it. They enjoy it.
They love it. They're now waking up to how hot it gets in August.
Yeah.
And that was the only negative last year, where they just said, "Mummy, it's too hot for us." Mm. Even with the pool and the beach at the end of the road, it was... But it was quite intense last August, wasn't it?
I'm hoping it's not going to be the same this year, but I fear that it will be, Vicky, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So get the AC ready and get those fans out in your handbag whenever you go anywhere.
That's it. But other than that, I mean, you're saying your favourite months are now. Mine are always September and October.
Yeah.
When that humidity is broken. And then I just find September and October. I think September and October are my most favourite. Because we know we're going into quiet times as well, and retreat times.
Yeah.
So the
it's very popular for retreats pre and end of season. Because again, like you say, it's too hot in July and August. You would want to come and do yoga in...
You can't. You'd have to do yoga at 5 a.m. to avoid the heat. And then you're on holiday. Nobody wants to get up at 5.
No, not even on a retreat. Anyway, so if anybody wants to know about your retreats, or is there any coming up that they can log on to?
Yes, I've got one in September 16th to the 23rd.
It's not full... So we can put the details on the show notes of that as
fantastic.
Well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I've still got 4 spots left.
Amazing.
4 spots left. It's quite an intimate retreat. We want to do some deep work, you know, deep releasing.
Trauma release and things like that.
Yeah, because from some of the guests, they haven't had the best sort of year or 2 years with unexpected things happening in their lives. So just release that so it doesn't hurt them anymore, you know. And lots of yoga, healthy food, detoxification, you know.
Beautiful hikes.
Yes.
You know, really getting out and seeing the island.
Yes.
And a perfect time to do it.
Yes.
Right, well, Vicky, I'm not going to take any more of your time up. I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you today in your beautiful sunny courtyard. I don't actually want to have to go off and do the rest of my day now before I edit this wonderful podcast. But thank you so much. I'm so glad that you've become a guest and part of the Authentic Ibiza Tribe.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I can't believe I actually made part of the tribe, like, now.
Yes,
like,
I'm you like, have 6 years
six
in.
6 years means
you
that
are
I'm,
part of the tribe, babe.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.